Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Swing and a base hit into right field. Kike Hernandez coming home. Bay's desperate throw is late, and the Dodgers decimate the Pirates with a series sweep. Another one-run loss for the Pirates.
Yep, they've lost 7 straight games. They're in last place in the NL Central, 11 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 5 games back of a wild card spot. Only the Nationals, the Rockies, and the Marlins have a worse record in the NL. And this is year 5 of the Ben Cherington experiment, a year where they were supposed to be, at worst, an improved team. We figured a team that would finish above 500. But the goal at and around the trade deadline, with the way that they played in July, was this team can make the postseason. The owner said 100% the goal is to make the postseason. They were buyers, adding 3 players to the Major League roster at the trade deadline, and here they are, but an afterthought in the National League standings. And you hate to do this, but here's the cruel reality. You're 5 years in. You've got Paul Skeens. You still have one of the best starting rotations in the National League, and you're 5 games under 500. If this team finishes where it is right now, or even close to where it is right now, how in the world do you come back with both Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton? I don't think you can, man. I just don't.
How could you be confident in it changing? Just like, you know, what you're saying. Like, how could you bring the same regime back and think that it's going to be positive? How do you think it's going to change? You're not only flirting with, you know, this year obviously going down the drain, which it already is, but you're flirting with wasting years of one of the most talented pitchers we've seen in the last decade. Like, that is fireable. Like, and I hate to do that, but whatever regime is in place right now, clearly it hasn't worked. It isn't working. You tried to make it work and it went backwards. Seems like nobody's on the same page. It seems like that they can't, you know, muster wins in the difficult moments. You know, the teams that are tested, the teams that are decent teams and good teams and the most successful teams are tested in those moments whenever they need to win, and then they figure out ways to win, especially against teams that are neck and neck with them chasing the same goal. Like, those are the teams that you can see panning out. And the Pirates showed us in the last two series, that they aren't there yet, or they aren't there or even close. And especially against the Dodgers this series, it was very evident that it is the time is running out, the energy is running out, and the want seems to be running out, and which is a shame. It's a shame that this is where they're at right now, because there was a lot of hope of them being something this year.
A week ago.
Feeling. It's really a shame. It's really a shame, because everybody is reverting backwards. It's not just one person. It's not just the manager. It's not just the GM. It's almost everybody at this point. Again, we've seen this happen earlier in the season. It's happening again right now.
David Bednar has been horrendous.
Yes.
He's been horrendous. And I have to wonder if he has ever been healthy from the start of the year till now, if he's had a nagging issue. Like, that's what I have to wonder, because he's been an all-star. He was the last 2 years an all-star. His ERA is around 6. He had a terrible start. He's been terrible now his last 4 or 5 appearances. In between, he was converting saves, but I don't think we ever felt like he reached his A game. And so a lot of people have said, you're paying Aroldis Chapman $10.5 million. Make him your closer. He has been very good. And okay, I do understand that point. I probably would have done that if I were Derek Shelton, but Colin Holderman ain't pitched well. In fact, he's been abysmal. Before this latest stretch, he was the bad pitcher in the back end of the bullpen. And then now it's Bednar, but that's only because Colin Holderman is on the IL, and I don't think he's really hurt. That's just me saying it.
Of course.
I don't think he's really hurt. I haven't heard that. Maybe I'm totally off, but come on. Makes a lot of sense that you would put that guy on the IL. I called for it before they did it, because you can't have him in the bullpen. You can't do that with Bednar, too. You can't do that with two of your three quote-unquote best relievers. And so people say, well, it should be Chapman. Okay, well, Holderman, when he was up here, was still going to have to pitch. Bednar still has to pitch. So if Bednar's not blowing it in the eighth, guess what? He's probably blowing it in the... If he's not blowing it in the ninth, I should say, he's probably blowing it in the eighth, or he's blowing it in the seventh, or he's blowing it in the sixth. The bigger issues for me are, it's year 5. You fancy yourself, and we'll play some of Ben Cherington's comments from yesterday, because he still feels like this. You fancy yourself still in a quote-unquote playoff pennant race, and Jiwon Bae's playing right field for you in year 5? Like, Jiwon Bae's a guy that plays for you, and then you bring him up like a decade later. Hey, remember when they really stunk and they tried that whole Jiwon Bae thing? They're supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
He can't field. He can't hit. I don't know what that guy does well. He can't throw. That guy stinks. And he's playing right field for you instead of a guy like Brian De La Cruz, who you acquired at the deadline. That's what you talk about, Dorn, when you say not being on the same page, Derek Shelton in the front office. You had Jordan Beeks, whatever the hell his name is, Jalen Beeks, sitting on ice in the previous Dodgers series instead of facing a lefty who was 4-for-20 against lefties in the season. And I'm guessing Ben Cherington's pulling his hair out. Well, now you've got a team that has struggled, and one of your trade deadline acquisitions, who has been horrific, you're going to play Jiwon Bae instead of him? Maybe that's on Shelton. It's on Cherington to not get better options. It's everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's year 5, and you're trotting out the Yasmani Grandals of the world, and you're trotting out the Jiwon Bae's of the world, and one of your best players is a guy that you wouldn't have even acquired if your number one overall pick actually carried his weight this year.
Right. It's a shame. It's a shame. I watched that game last night, yesterday, and I was just like, I can't believe that this is where they're at. But actually, at the same time, I can believe it, because there was a lot of telling signs.
Yeah.
A lot. Whenever they played Arizona, whenever they played the Padres, two teams that are in the race that they're fighting for a spot against, they looked like better teams. They did. Like, I mean, you know, even though the Pirates fought in some of those games, those other teams, they look like better teams. So I just, you know, it's disappointing, but at the same time, I see where you're saying, like, you know, 5 years in,
huh?
Supposed to be this year, supposed to be going for it, and you just can't figure out ways to make it happen.
No.
Can't. And that, you know, we talk about this during football season, we talk about this during hockey season, we talk about this right now. It points to one direction, and that's up top. You know, it points to... The manager usually points to the coach. It points to the GM. Like, everything filters down through them. The message, I don't know what it is, but it can't be the same message next year.
No, it can't.
Or you're just going to be in the same spot.
This year would have felt like a failure if they merely finished above 500. Like, if we go a couple weeks back, I think we even talked about it. Like, does it need to be a playoff team for it to be a success? And I think the answer was yes. And now you're looking at a team that's 5 games under, that's won one of its last 10 games, that's in last place in what is not a good NL Central. And here's the way it was supposed to look this year, man. Like, Skeens was supposed to be good, probably not as good as he's been, but you knew he would help you because he's Paul freaking Skeens. And Jared Jones was going to be part of your rotation, and they thought their rotation would be good. Thought your bullpen would be the strength of the team. But you also thought you'd hit home runs because you thought Henry Davis would be your everyday catcher. And even though he's got a frying pan for a mitt, you figured that that guy would hit some home runs. He's been in AAA for most of the year. You thought Jack Sawinski might be your everyday center fielder and flirt with 30 home runs. It hasn't happened. If those two things happen, you might be in a different spot right now. In fact, you probably are in a different spot right now. Where's the development? There's been no development. I mean, Jack Sawinski regressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've looked at his AAA numbers, Dorn. He's hitting below 200 in AAA.
Oh, wow.
He's done. He's finished. It's over. At least Henry Davis is killing the ball down there. And maybe we'll see him sooner rather than later. But those guys were supposed to blossom. They haven't. Bednar's taken a step back. Holderman's taken a step back. A guy that I thought was a potential future piece of the rotation, Roansy Contreras, isn't at the team on the team anymore. I'm sure there's a long list of players that we can argue needed to be better. You think about Michael A. Taylor, hit 21 homers last year. You bring him in, he doesn't do jack. You bring in Edward Olivares, you think he's got some pop, and you have to replace him with another Edward Olivares. So it's been a failure of the staff from a developmental standpoint, which I put, at least at the big league level, on the manager. And I put it on the manager because he's got Andy Haynes and refuses to let go of Andy Haynes. We've got kind of a Matt Canada thing going on here where the head coach is protecting his dude the way that Mike Tomlin for so long would not get rid of Matt Canada. So you got to put that on the manager. And then just the pieces that they've brought in, most of them have not worked. And so it's both. And if you come back next year, if this is how things wind up, if they struggle, if they collapse the way that they have, if it looks a lot like 2011 when we're looking back on this thing, you can't bring both of them back, and I don't think you can. You probably can't bring either of them back. What say you at 412-928-9370? Can you tell I'm stuffed up? Can you hear it in my voice?
Yeah, but...
Oh, my God.
It's all right.
Cut the grass, allergies.
Yeah.
I get it at the beginning of April, right when spring comes, and then at the end of summer, when it's kind of spring-y, it's terrible! I'm frustrated!
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow... So I just wanted to get that out there in case I sound a little goofy today. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we are very proud to say the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Coming up next, Ben Cherington did speak yesterday on his radio show. Wait until you hear what he had to say, because I do think it changes the way that this team is going to be operated the rest of the season. We'll explain what that means when we...
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
We come back.
Does this last week of play change the goals for the final 7 weeks of the season at all?
No, it doesn't at all. Like, we're still focused on one thing, and that's winning as many games as we can, making every effort to make every game count between now and the end of September. Still believe it's possible we can push ourselves into October. We understand where we are in the standings. I believe this team is capable of going on a really good run still ahead of us.
So that's Ben Cherington yesterday on his radio show right here on 93.7 The Fan with Joe Block. Goals haven't changed. They are 5 games out of a playoff spot, which I guess means that technically, you know, they are kind of in it, at least on the periphery of it. But I just did some fast math, Dorn, and it's far too early for this, but I double-checked, crossed some T's, dotted some I's. There's 45 games left. Pirates are 5 games under 500. If the Pirates wanted to get to 84 wins, which is what got each of the last two seasons, the final wild card team in, they would have to go 28-17 down the stretch just to get to 84 wins.
Yeah.
And I don't think 84 wins is going to do it this year. Maybe it does. Either way, 28-17 the rest of the way, when they've played the way that they have just recently, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be an 11 games over 500 baseball team the rest of the way.
No chance.
There's just no chance that's going to happen. And the crime is they've lost so many one-score games lately that even if they don't flip the result on all of them, even if you flip the result on like 3 or 4 of them, you're like 2 games out of a playoff spot. And then you don't need to go 28-17 down the stretch. You got to go like 25-20, which seems a lot more doable.
Absolutely.
Or 23-22, like if you had won the majority of those games, but they haven't, and so here they are. And hey, Ben Cherington said the right thing. That's what you got to say. But I do think that the way that this team is managed and the way that this roster is managed, if they continue playing this poorly for like another week, is totally going to change. And I don't think it means they're going to shut down Paul Skeens, because I just don't think you can do that, because next year you want him pitching 190, 200 innings, and you need to build him to that. So I don't think he'll get shut down. But I do think there are other guys that you would give a chance to. Like, I don't ever need to see Jiwon Bae again.
Mm-hmm.
Just play Brian De La Cruz every day in the outfield and see what you have in that guy. And there are some other things, too. Like Nick York, who they acquired in the Quinn Priester trades, hitting 368 in AAA. Henry Davis is crushing the ball. We don't ever need to see Yasmani Grandal again,
right,
if you're out of this thing, right? And you probably don't need to anyhow. The other guy that they acquired at the deadline, Billy Cook's hitting 360 with an OPS over 1,100 at AAA. I'd like to see those three dudes if you're out of it. I wouldn't do it yet. I might have Henry Davis up. But I would absolutely get a good, long, hard look at those guys if you wind up going like 8, 9, 10 games under, or you're 8 or 9 games back in the wild card race.
What about Jared Jones?
I'd bring him back too, because I need to build him up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think you might even find, I wonder how you feel on this, because I think you might have Pirates fans that are a little split. Like, hey, if you're not winning anything, you don't want Jones to get hurt. If you're not winning anything, you don't want Skeens to get hurt. But you still then, and I can't believe we're talking about this now, you still need to earmark next year as a year where you can legitimately contend. And because of that, I think you need to get their innings count, not to a dangerous place, but to a place where next year you can get them to a quote-unquote dangerous place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just don't know about doing it now. Like, what would that serve? Because you're going to take that time off, like, after the season. Like, if you build them up now, then you're just going to revert back. It's not like it's just, like, a continuous gradual build.
The way that they, at least it's been explained by, like, Zane Grilly,
right,
is industry-wide, you're looking at, like, a 15, 20, maybe 25% innings growth year over year.
Right.
And so I want to grow off of more innings. You know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I understand it. I understand why, if they totally fall out of it, and let's face it, they're not in it anymore. But if they totally fall out of it, Pirates fans, just shut them down. Shut them down, protect them. A, we don't know that that actually works. And B, if you want to grow the innings off of this year for next year, well, then you got to get them as many innings as you can safely this season.
Why do you think Skeens' velocity has gone down?
I think he's tired.
You think he's tired?
I don't think he's used to it. I don't think it's on purpose.
Right.
I don't think that's a good question. Like, I don't think they're doing the, hey, let's throw more two-seamers thing. Like, I don't think they're telling him take a little off. He's throwing 98, 99. He used to be throwing 100, 101. I think this is the most he's ever going to be pitching on a schedule that he's not used to, with innings that have to feel different because it's Major League Baseball. And I think that, you know, there's not wear and tear.
Just fatigue.
Uh-huh. It's just the wear. But that is an astute observation by you that I hadn't thought about, and I think that that is happening, absolutely.
I mean, I'm probably wrong, but I don't even know if he hit over 100 on Saturday.
No. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
I don't know that he hit 100.
I don't think he hit 100.
Yeah. I think he was sitting mostly 98, and we did see a couple of 99s.
And that's where I was, like, wrestling with myself. Like, is this, you know, scripted to do this, or is it fatigue? Because if it's fatigue, then I would shut him down.
I think you need to be very careful, but also have him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you just do the math and you think every 6 days, and then you start thinking about off days, not that there's a ton of those sprinkled in, I think you go 6 days, you get creative, you might skip a start now and then, and you get the innings up, but you don't tax him. And I think that you think about maybe going 5 innings a start or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cap him at 5 innings, and it's not popular, and do the Jared Jones thing where you pulled him against the Mets at 50, whatever it was, 58 pitches, 59 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do stuff like that. And so you still throw him out there, but you really protect him as much as possible. But I do think there's something to that fatigue. I absolutely think that there is. And I'd be interested to see what Jared Jones looks like when he comes back, because he shouldn't be fatigued, and he should be throwing real hard.
Yeah.
So we'll see there. But I can't believe this is where we are, where a week-ish ago, we're talking about games that pulled your heart out because they were in the middle of the playoff race.
And we knew the schedule was going to be tough, but you got to find ways. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, you know, every sport is tough at this level. Like, whatever.
I know, man. And it's not like they weren't right there. It's not like they weren't right there. They had a chance to sweep the Astros. Should have swept the Astros, threw that game away. I mean, we don't have to go chapter and verse into all the games that they were right there and lost. Last night, you just lump on top of it, right? And last night would have been so crushing if you felt like you were in it, but, like, I almost felt a level of apathy watching that
thing.
Like, okay, they're in extras. Oh, they only got one run. They're probably done.
That's exactly how I was feeling.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, you just didn't think that they were going to be able to pull it out. And what it feels like to me, and I know that they've won series against good teams, including Philadelphia to start this second half, and the Brewers before the end of the first half. But it feels to me like a college football team that crushes the non-conference schedule, then plays like the two worst teams in the conference, and they're 5-0, and everyone's like, hey, look at this. And then, here comes Bama, here comes Georgia. Oh, Mizzou's having a good year. You got to take them on the road. And then all of a sudden you're 5-3, and you go, oh, geez, what the hell happened? The wheels fell off. Well, this is as tough a schedule as you're really going to see in Major League Baseball. And we talked about it. This was going to decide the season, and it has, just probably not in the way that we thought that it would. Because there's no reprieve. There's no day off. That Arizona team's hot as hell.
Yep.
And they are good.
Yes.
And the Dodgers, obviously, are good.
Yes.
There was a bright spot yesterday. Andrew McCutchen hit a couple of homers. Let's talk about him. Does he come back next year? Do you want him back next year? A lot of Pirates early, and then mostly Steelers the rest of the way, because we got to break down preseason game number one. And then there was a practice yesterday, Doran, which might have answered some questions. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Has nothing to do with Brandon Ayuk. Has nothing to do with the Steelers. Has nothing to do with the Pirates. Are we still putting pennies in loafers? You can vote at _ Adam Crowley.
2-2 pitch. Swing, fly ball, deep right. Páez back, warning track, and he leaps for it. And where is it? It's gone. A home run. Just out of his reach. I don't know if a fan reached for it or it just got over the fence, but it's a home run from McCutchen. A two-run shot, and the Pirates take the deficit in half. It's 4-2. 1-1 is belted high and deep out to left.
And Andrew McCutchen, a two-homer day. He's tied the game with home run number 16 here in the eighth inning.
It really is incredible what Andrew McCutchen has done at this advanced stage of his career. And while the team yesterday didn't really give you a lot of reasons to smile, one guy who didn't give up was that guy. Do you bring him back next year?
Yeah.
I do too. And you would hope it would be a similar contract.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, $5 million, doesn't break the bank, leaves you with some of that quote-unquote financial flexibility, because we all know that that is an issue. But what you can't let happen is that block you from doing other stuff.
Right.
Like, if Brent Rooker is available this offseason and you feel like you have the ability to go out and have the prospect capital to acquire him, you can't let Andrew McCutchen being here keep you from doing that. Teoscar Hernandez is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I think that's a guy that the Pirates should absolutely be heavily involved in.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, the guy hits a lot of homers.
He's a freak.
He's a freak. I think he could be frustrating with the strikeouts at times, but yeah, we know what they got going right now. So he's an outfielder, but I just think if you bring him back, the conversation is, yeah, you can DH a lot, probably going to have to play outfield every now and again, but if you are a player who plays three times a week and is going to come off the bench, you need to be okay with that too.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have you clogging it up. Now, he's not blocking anybody in the system right now.
Mm-mm.
And Brent Rooker, by all accounts, because he didn't get traded, wasn't available at this trade deadline. But how many conversations did we have, did we hear about, well, you can't trade for Rooker because you got a designated hitter. Eh. Look, you have to respect Kutch, but you can't let him block you from going out and getting better than Kutch either.
Yeah.
Great to be on the team, and maybe he is your DH next year. But he can't be your DH if there are other options that are available.
I mean, but he's actually doing decent this year, though, too. So
he
it's
is.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't let that kind of hinder me for making a different move. But I feel like if he wants to be here, clearly, and he's actually playing at a decent level, then, yeah, I would bring him back because I think that'll be it's good for the club, for
yeah.
Sure. But you like you're saying, yeah, I wouldn't let that hinder me for making the appropriate moves that I think that are necessary, but I don't think that they're going to do that. I think that they're going to look at it like, oh, Kutch played pretty well this year. He's our DH next year if he wants to come back at this price. I don't think that they'll let anybody else be a factor in if they bring him back or not. Now, we say that, but I don't think that they'll operate that way.
No, I don't think they'll operate that way either. I think as long as he wants to be a Pirate, he'll be a Pirate.
Yes.
And as healthy as he is, when he is, they will put him in the lineup. And they'll give him the thoughtful off days, things of that nature. But if he wants to be their DH next year, he's going to be their DH
yep.
next year. And the production you can't argue with. When he's been in the leadoff role, he's been really good in the leadoff role. Whenever you compare him to other designated hitters around the league, right now he is a very good designated hitter still, even right now. The real problem is he can't be your third best hitter.
Exactly.
You can't go, oh, who are the Pirates' three best hitters? Well, it's Brian Reynolds, it's O'Neill Cruz, it's Andrew McCutchen. If he's your sixth best hitter, you're in a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be your third.
Right.
Like, at this age, at 37 years old, and when he gets up to bat, you go, oh, yeah, this guy gives us, like, right. We feel as good about him as anybody else. It's a testament to how hard he's worked and how good he still is, but that should not be the case.
And it's also a testament to where the whole team is at.
Right, and the development of things. Like, coming into the year, we would have hoped that Henry Davis could be part of that conversation. We would have hoped, my God, that Jack Sawinski would be part of that conversation. This guy who hit 26 homers last year. No and no. So he's your third? We would have thought Key Brian Hayes, based off the last 2-plus months of last year, would be part of that conversation. Well, guess what? No, he's not. And so I read a nice piece Noah Hiles wrote in the Post-Gazette, and he's, I think, really grown into the beat. I think Noah does a really nice job. McCutchen was talking about how this team's going through its lumps because it's still a young team. I hate to disagree with Andrew. It's yes and no. Like, Key Brian Hayes doesn't get to count as young anymore. O'Neill Cruz is in year three, right on that cut line. Brian Reynolds ain't young. Michael A. Taylor ain't young. Edward Olivares ain't young. Yasmani Grandal ain't young, right? Your second baseman, Nick Gonzalez, young, fine. Mm-hmm. Rowdy Tellez, not young. Mm-hmm. Your closer, not young. Your setup man, not young. Your other setup man who's making $10.5 million, been around the league for a decade and a half. Now, Skeens is young. Jones is young. Keller doesn't qualify as young anymore.
No. This,
to me, is a team that is in its infancy of trying to win as this current group, but it's not like it's a bunch of youngsters all coming up at the same time who are in their early 20s. Like, the Pirates have one of the oldest rosters in Major League Baseball on average. I just saw that the other day.
I think they're the third highest. Right.
Like, I can't. I'm sorry. Like, I can't have it be they're young. I can't. Like, that's not the excuse. They're bad. And the general manager didn't get enough good players in here. And then the manager sometimes refuses to play those good players when they need to be played. So I think those are bigger issues than, oh, this team is young.
They're not young.
They're not young. And I keep coming back to Key Brian Hayes, who, if I see him fly out to deep right field one more time, I'm going to jump through the window. Ridiculous. 412-928-9370. Enough on the Pirates. Enough. I mean, there's no fun to be had with the Pirates right now. So what do we make of preseason game number one? We're going to get into that coming up at 7 o'clock. So do stay with us. 93.7 The Fan is your station for complete training camp coverage presented by Smail Kia and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. And we want you back after this break. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes, winners and losers from Steelers preseason game number one. We actually have a game to talk about, Torrin. Ugly as it was.
Yep.
And you can give us a ring, your winners, your losers from preseason game number one on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Real quick, one last thing on the Pirates. Oh, geez. Brian De La Cruz has an OPS at 261.
Oh,
that is last, man, among all the players that were acquired at the trade deadline.
I saw that graphic.
Yeah. Josh Bell, by the by, a 975 OPS. Every time you turn on ESPN or MLB Network, he's hitting a home run.
Don't forget about Jazz Chisholm, too.
Wasn't gonna.
He's third, right?
Yeah, he's third with an OPS up over 1,000. Now, this was before yesterday's game, and that didn't change for Brian De La Cruz because he gets a day off because you got to get Jiwon Bae in there.
Yes.
You got to play Jiwon Bae. Got to make sure Jiwon Bae gets his at-bats.
He needs his reps. He needs the reps.
He stinks. He stinks, but then that tells you how bad Brian De La Cruz is, where Shelty feels like, let's play Jiwon Bae because he gives us a better chance. When you acquire a guy at the deadline who we know to be streaky, but who also has more power than just about anybody in the lineup, don't you just have to play him every day and hope he finds it?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, at this point, you're right. Yeah, this is what you brought him here for.
Yes.
Let him play.
But whatever, they're done. I mean, they're in last place, jeez. Brian De La Cruz, 261 OPS, and he has 35 plate appearances, which is, sure, a small sample size. Jazz Chisholm, though, has darn near 20 more plate appearances, and his OPS is up over 1,000. So where would you be now with Jazz Chisholm? Probably not having lost 7 straight games and only having won 1 of your last 9. We went to the Steeler game on Friday, Doran.
That's right. How was it?
No, it was outstanding.
It was good?
Took my daughter to the first game, and she loved it. She loved it. She had to wear headphones because she doesn't like loud things.
Mm-hmm.
So she had that, but she got into the terrible towel swirl. She loves peanuts, but it never had them in the shell. So we did that, which, you know, it's like a game.
Yep.
And then we got the nachos, which I hadn't had nachos at a stadium in forever. You probably never do. Like, when do you ever go to games as fans? I guess Pirate games.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Never.
You ever get the nachos?
I haven't in a long time.
I haven't had the nachos in forever, and it hit.
Was it good?
Oh, it hit. It hit. And I always put like 3 or 4 in one of the pockets of cheese so that they get soggy.
Uh-huh.
Like half soggy, half crispy, and then you pop them in. Oh, yeah.
Do you get like the double? Do you get the cheese and the salsa?
We went double cheese.
Double cheese.
What do you do?
I think cheese and salsa.
Really? You're anti-tomato.
Yeah, but I dip it in the juice. I don't scoop it.
Yeah. It's more of a liquidy salsa anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very chunky.
See, that's right up my alley there.
If my wife would have come back, because I said, listen, I got to watch a game. I got to take notes here. You go get the nachos. She gets the nachos. If she would have come back with salsa, it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
with the Chi, it just hit different.
Hmm.
Problem is, we had to take out a second mortgage.
A lot.
Oh my God!
Well, how much is a thing of nachos?
See, I don't know. All I know is that a water was $10.
Oh man!
My wife got a big old beer, which was like $15. My beer, which was a regular domestic beer, 16 ounces, was like $12.50. So we're flirting with $1 an ounce. The parking was $65.
Oh my gosh.
The tickets were fine because it's a preseason game, but all the other stuff. Then, of course, we had to get her a stuffed animal, which was $28.
It's a preseason game, and you're spending $200.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Ask me if we stayed the whole time.
I'm willing to bet that you didn't.
No. Halfway through the second quarter, we were out.
Wow, so just a quarter and a half.
Yeah. Bedtime. Things of that nature. You're flirting with disaster. However long past bedtime they go, you know it's hell.
Oh, man.
Like, I thought we'd have to get her out of there kicking and screaming. We avoided it narrowly. I think she was barking up that tree. So we're talking like $220 for a quarter and a half of football, baby.
Was there a lot of people there?
Decent crowd.
Decent?
Decent crowd. Your son was there.
Yeah, he did go with the neighbor.
He was probably swirling that towel like a maniac.
He was excited.
Yeah.
He did say, actually, he'd got the nachos, too, and they were really good. He said he got jalapenos on them.
See, that's what I would have done. The daughter would have been no. My wife would have been no. And then I don't know if I'd be here today if I was eating those jalapenos.
Yeah, stomach. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son likes hot stuff. I was like, really?
Me too.
Like, yeah.
He got to come over.
What are you going to make?
I don't know. I ate 7 tacos last night between 8 o'clock and 9, and I went to bed at 9. And I woke up today with the worst heartburn of my career.
You had 7 tacos?
7 tacos.
Where do you put those? Where do you store 7 tacos in that body?
Yeah, that's the problem. I woke up today, it felt like I ate a cat. Like, it's
7 tacos?
Yeah, right before bed. Like last taco hits the belly, and then I drink some water, brush the old teeth, get into bed. So I'm just laying horizontal with 7 tacos.
I'm surprised you weren't burping and, like, indigestion
night. I was. It was brutal. Man. I popped Tums first thing when I woke up today.
Oh.
It was horrific. I said to my, I'm going to have 2 because we're going to space them out for lunches the first part of the week. Nah, 7.
Yeah, crush them.
That's 7 tacos. Annihilated them. And then my wife wanted the last tortilla, so I made a bowl. So I had 7 tacos in a bowl. Brutal stuff.
What?
Yeah. That preseason game was a tough watch, as a lot of preseason games are, and particularly the first preseason game. But this is Sports Talk Radio, and we can finally start to evaluate the Steelers in stadium. So who were the winners? Who were the losers? Whose arrows are pointed horizontally? We'll tell you, and we want to hear from you on this at 412-928-9370 coming up next. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.